man who's paid to stop him in an actual game against Detroit. It's not fair to ask a normal human being with a pad to go, hey, could you put a little resistance up for Khalil Mack?
Oh, I'll do my best, coach.
Coach, I'm in there, and then you're 10 yards in the backfield. It's pretty great. So, gentlemen, I thank you very much. That is Dan Bernstein and Connor McKnight. They do the show here every day from 9 a.m. until noon. We are live in Bourbonnais right now, right outside Bears training camp. And we are Sports Radio 670 The Score, WSCR HD Chicago, WBMX HD2 Chicago, a radio.com sports station. The top of the hour is brought to you by the Chicago Wolves. Your Western Conference champion Chicago Wolves will open the season on Saturday, October 5th. For group and season tickets, visit ChicagoWolves.com. And this hour is being brought to you by Vasectomy Clinics of Chicago. We are going to have a conversation with Joe Madden because it's Tuesday at noon, and that's what we do. Tony, let's go.
Lawrence Holmes, noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com sports station.
I'm here about the business. Ain't that right, Joe?
Joe Madden.
Which Cub wears the most cologne?
There's some guys, man, that when you if you give them a hug or whatever, it's almost like you can't even go see your wife right after that. She's going to be suspicious. I mean, some of these dudes really.
Manager for the Chicago Cubs.
You're trying to pull yourself into thinking that the oatmeal raisin is healthy. That's what people try to do. It's not.
Joe, overrated though?
Yes, they're overrated, Tony.
Oh my God, overrated. A peanut butter, and I go peanut butter. Whoa. Way at the top of the list.
Hey, I learned a lot from watching Joe.
Joe Madden with Lawrence Holmes on 670 The Score.
Okay, nice.
The Joe Madden Show is presented by Magellan Corporation. I'm Lawrence Holmes here with you until 2 o'clock. We talk with Joe Madden every Tuesday at noon. The manager of the Cubs joins me now on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline. Find 500 new and used vehicles at Alpamonte Ford. Joe, how are you?
I am well, Lawrence. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing really well. I'm doing great. I heard you talking about the game on Sunday, and people were asking you, was that a must-win? Is must-win? And you were explaining, no, when your back is against the wall and you're about to be eliminated from the playoffs or the World Series, those are must-win games. That being said, how important was Sunday's win in your estimation?
Well, it's one of those things that reestablishes your confidence. Listen, every Major League game is a must-win game if you really come right down to it. I mean, you want to win every game that you play. Of course you do. My concern is the dialogue attached to situations like this, because players, when they start believing that kind of stuff, in a sense where they have to be perfect, I can't do anything wrong, I got to try harder, those are the kind of phrases that really get you in trouble and pretty much don't work out well. I'm a process-oriented guy. I believe in the moment, process the moment properly, meaning do your work, come to the ballpark, stay with your routine, work your at-bat, pitch by pitch as a pitcher, defense, make sure you get set prior to each pitch, base runners, anticipate what may occur, that I'm going to be moving right on this next pitch. Those are the kind of things that help you win. These other thoughts are really so counterproductive, and I don't try to avoid them. I just don't use them. Kenny Revisa, my buddy, the sports psychologist who passed last year, Kenny and I were together since like mid-1980s, and I think actually unknowingly, I believed in that stuff even before that, kid growing up playing high school baseball, football, et cetera. So you got to really think properly in order to become a champion, and to start applying too much weight to one moment and not just weighing each moment as the same. That's the danger. That's my point.
I know that you're really into process, and I actually did want to ask you a little bit about process, as it has to do with the problems of the team in this group on the road, where there's a lot of struggle. I want to know what your checklist is when you're trying to figure out how can we change our fortunes on the road. What types of things do you think about, and do you ever think about straying from routine, considering that the sample size now is pretty big as far as road games this season?
You know, we've been doing this we've been pretty successful the last several years, and we still are very successful at home. You take the recent road trip. What had happened was we played a lot of really tightly contested games, and at the end, our bullpen had a little bit of trouble holding on to things. And that's one part of it. But the other part is we had a chance to score a lot more runs than we did too. So when the Cubs lose, we all lose. We all did not do our job efficiently or appropriately on that particular day. I would say the biggest thing is to really try to push the envelope scoring runs anyway. We tried to run a little bit more on that last road trip to shake things up a bit because we're really not that kind of a team that you really want to run a whole lot because we don't have that kind of base stealing ability, that hit and run ability. Some concern, you're always concerned about that. We won the game on Sunday because we had three homers. Really, that's what it boiled down to. We got a couple walks, a couple homers, and we win. I've been talking about this for a bit. Succinctly, the bullpen, I think you have to keep an eye on the emotional component, not push guys too hard too many days consecutively. From the offensive side of things, really try to encourage the better at bat, meaning the two-strike approach, moving the baseball. Opposite field is your buddy in those moments. I don't want us just to live and die by the home run because it's not going to work. It's just not going to work. We're playing in St. Louis right now. This ballpark is much bigger than the ballpark in Milwaukee. It plays so differently. And why? I don't know. Atmospheric pressure? I don't know. The altitude above the sea level? It's probably all the same. But Milwaukee plays small, and this place plays huge. So we just can't take that same tact here. I want really good baseball. I want fundamental baseball, offensively and defensively. Pitching-wise, I got to be aware of not pushing relievers too often. And then have the emotional component seep in. And I'm talking about on the road. It does not seem to bother as much at home.
Because of us doing this segment, usually I walk away with something that I try to apply when I'm watching games. And for this year, I've been two things. The one-in-one counts that you talk about all the time and the middle way approach in at-bats. I try to look for those when I'm watching your team play. You added something else to the mix this week, and I wanted to ask you about it. What happens from your history in the game? What happens after someone chases a fastball outside of the strike zone in an at-bat?
Well, it's normally a breaking ball. It's normally the slider chase. It's normally like a cutter curveball chase when it starts out as a strike and becomes a ball. The one that you want to hit is when it starts out of the ball and becomes a strike. And that's the frustrating part from the sideline, much more difficult to do on the plate. When you're chasing fastballs out of the zone, that's even more difficult because that means you're just making up your mind to swing before we ever see the ball in the first place. And that's what it really comes down to, seeing the ball first. You can't predetermine I'm going to swing or not swing. You can predetermine I'm looking middle in, I'm looking middle away, I'm looking up, I'm looking down. You can predetermine zones or location, which I kind of like, actually, and I prefer that method just to be able to react to the ball. Part of the issue is also with the data-driven that baseball society that we've gotten, guys are up there knowing that a guy throws a 31% breaking ball on a certain count, and thus he starts looking for it. And when you're looking for a breaking ball, sometimes you're going to swing at the bad one. I could keep going on and on about this. I prefer hitting is reactionary. It's you're not the proactive component in this dance. It's the pitcher that is. You have to be set up mentally to attack pitches in your area, stuff that you can handle, stuff that you're good at first. And when that count gets away from you, you got to protect your weak points first and let your strengths take care of themselves. That's what I believe, and I believe that from the beginning. So when guys are chasing fastballs out of the zone, normally I believe they're predetermined to swing.
So how do you fix that in a particular player and to explaining to them where their strengths might be when they don't chase?
Well, the thing about that is kind of funny, too. Sometimes you'll ask a hitter what his strength is, he doesn't, and when he starts describing to what he thinks it is, it's not even close. I'll give you like an old story analogy regarding that. Bob Boone. Boone, he was the catcher with the Angels in the early 80s and very good. Jerry Nairn was the backup, and Jerry was having a hard time throwing runners out. So Marcel Lachman takes them both out to do a little extra work. Lach was the pitching coach. And he asked Boone to explain to Jerry, you know, how does he do this? What's his footwork, and what does he attempt to do? And then Bob goes through this elaborate explanation of moving his feet and how he, like, gathers the ball from his left and how he moves on the ball to the right. And he goes through this is what he thought he did. And at the end of the day, Marcel said, wait a second, you don't do that at all. All Boone ever did was kept his right foot down and threw the baseball. The point is, this guy was so good, he didn't even know what he did to be successful. A lot of these guys, I don't think, break down nearly enough where they do their best work. And that's what you try to get them to understand. Are you a high ball hitter? Are you a low ball hitter? And some guys are actually really good breaking ball strike hitters. And know thyself. We spend way too much time worrying about physical mechanics. And where are my hands? Where are my feet? And they look at video ad nauseum, trying to look for stuff that does not, it really doesn't matter. What matters is seeing the baseball first, having a specific plan of what am I good at, and then attacking it from there. But we, coaching, the industry in general, want to provide all these physical answers, and the mind is really what's controlling success. And a lot of times guys want to spend more time on the physical side because it's somewhat easier to understand than this mental component. But I really believe the success handle is decided by the player, the hitter, that really spends more time approaching the mental components of hitting.
Cubs manager Joe Maddon joining me here on The Score. The Cubs getting ready for a huge series against the Cardinals starting tonight. You can hear those games right here on The Score. Why do you feel like, and I believe the term was gap, that your offense, your team can create a gap because of what they do offensively?
I'm talking about, you know, the gap for the relief pitchers. Man, when it's always zero or one run, when you're tied or always a one-run game, again, that's the emotional component relief pitchers are faced with. That whole road trip, we were, like, tight the whole time. It was tight. We had the right guys out there at the right time. It just didn't work out. But every time you put a relief pitcher out there, when they're in that situation, it can be difficult. It's not always a slam dunk, especially in today's game. The ball flying the way it is. I'm telling you, man, just go watch a game in Milwaukee. The ball just jumps out of that ballpark. Even ground balls look quicker. So you got to create a gap so that the pitchers, the guys come in and have somewhat of a cushion to be able to maybe make a mistake and still absorb it. So that comes from the offense. We have to do a better job of scoring runs early and creating this gap that permits our pitchers some leeway as the game is in progress. It's, again, when you lose, everybody loses. It's not just a relief pitcher giving up a hit. The way the game is analyzed today is, I mean, for me, it's nonsensical. It's always relief pitchers are held to a standard that is impossible, absolutely impossible to maintain. We all lose. We all lose by not scoring more runs early, by making a mistake. On defense, where we have the pitcher has to throw more pitches, you've got to take them out sooner. The game's interconnected constantly. So I really believe there's a lot or too much negative emphasis put on bullpen guys when they don't actually hold up.
Is there anything to worry about when you see Craig Kimbrell's velocity be down in the 94-95 range?
Not yet. I mean, he's still, this guy, he had sat out so long this year, and I know he worked out, and he's been in several games. I get it. But his velocity is going to show up as he continues to get his arm stretched out and just get involved more. I absolutely believe that he's well. God, the guy works out like a demon. He's just so involved in his workouts, and he's so strong, and he's not been hurt. So he's going to be fine. We just got to give him time, be patient. You're going to see that 96-97 more consistently. He's got an outstanding curveball, too, which I've seen via TV, but seeing it in person, it's an outstanding pitch. So, again, there's just a patient component involved with that, too.
Does that change any way that you might use him because of where he might be in his personal timeline versus where the team is in their season?
Nope. It's going to be conversational. Craig, how do you feel going into, I'm good, then you're in the game. If it pops up, Joe, I need a day, then you get today, and then we have to alter the philosophy before the game begins. That's what it comes down to. Relief pitchers being honest with Tommy, the pitching coach, and Lester, our bullpen coach, and myself, then you're able to create a game plan prior to the game that you kind of make work or try to fit in. But when a guy's disingenuous and you throw him out there and you can see that it's not right, that's when things break down. So with him, I listen, veterans like that, him, Pedro, all these guys, when they tell you they're fine, you believe it.
Over the weekend while I was watching the games, obviously there's a conversation that's going on where between fans where they're going, okay, did Joe make the right decisions? In games where you feel like you've pushed the right buttons and you've put everyone in the right place and it doesn't work out, how does that feel for you?
Fine. You just answered it right there. Fans, again, they have this really ridiculous concept about bullpen and bullpen management. They have no idea really what goes into it. And at the end of the day, like you said, you can make a decision that maybe the absolute proper thing or right thing to do, but it doesn't work out, and then it's perceived as being wrong. That's a really bad process. Again, we talk about the bullpen before the game. We set up our guys against their guys before the game ever begins, and sometimes it doesn't work. It's not going to be perfect every time. And so in baseball, there's a lot of things. There's a lot of times you decide to not do something that people would never even know. That is also a decision. That's part of life. You decide to not do something that you never reveal, but it's still a decision. And then you choose to do something, and here's the exposure. And if it doesn't work out, it's automatically deemed to be the wrong thing to do, which, again, is a bad process. Sometimes it doesn't work out because the other guys are professional also, and the other guys are good, meaning the other team offense. So you set it up beforehand. You try to put your guys in the best possible spot. When it doesn't work out, that doesn't mean it was wrong. It just means it didn't work out in that moment, and that's called baseball.
You're putting Rowan Wick in a lot of high-leverage situations. What's he done to earn your trust?
Hey, he's good. He's been good. He has. I mean, what he did in Milwaukee was pretty spectacular. He gave us a chance to win that game, pitched through some really tough moments. Really impressive so far. And again, I don't want to – nobody should go crazy one way or another yet. Just keep giving him opportunities. He's got good carry on his fastball. He's got a legitimate curveball that he's thrown for strikes. Like I said the other day, when he chose to throw the ball to third base on the bunt – and bunt or slow roll, I can't remember what it was. But anyway, he chose to throw the ball to third base and made a good, accurate throw. That spoke volumes to me regarding him being under control internally. So we'll keep giving him the opportunity. His stuff is that good. He's a self-confident young man. He's kind of a quiet guy, but he exudes that confidence you're looking for. So we'll keep throwing him out there, but so far so good.
It's a fun, interesting week where you have Milwaukee, St. Louis, Milwaukee. Does this feel bigger than any other week that you've had so far through the season?
Hey, San Francisco, no walk in the park. We just had to play the Padres. That's the thing. I mean, I really look at it on a day-by-day in situation. I did our lineup for today. I just already sent it in. And then I'm already trying to configure again tomorrow. We have some things written down, but always subject to change. It's such a day-by-day process. You have no idea what's going to happen today. And the fact that you would come out healthy going in tomorrow. I love playing here in St. Louis. It's been wonderful. Milwaukee is really ascendant, like you talked about. Pittsburgh, Cincinnati, your whole division has gotten better. But I don't walk into a game with any different feeling regarding severity, unless, like I said, it's at the end of the year and it's entirely different. But for right now, we got to continue to build. We got to continue to build our offense, become more consistent there, make sure that the bullpen is in order. Cole Hamels is on the horizon, coming back, wonderful. So these are the kind of things I'm focused on, and I try not to be the fan, and I love the fan thing as I was for so many years. But my job is to really be a present tense oriented, and that's what I do.
All right. So the fans threw a couple questions. I'm actually down at Bears training camp, so I don't have the box. But Tony reached into the box and picked a couple questions. I love this one.
Tell Coach Nagy I said hello, please, by the way.
Well, I'd love to. What was it like for you? I was actually, you read my mind a little bit. I wanted to ask you, having an opportunity to get to know that guy and seeing the success that he had last year, what was that like for you?
Loved it. Absolutely loved it. I mean, when I met him, I mean, God, it's like a kindred spirit. He's a couple years younger than me, not many, but from the same, from Pennsylvania, we talked the same talk. Met his family, spectacular. It was very authentic. It was very sincere. That's just who he is. I loved it. And, knowing of his background, being an offensive guy, and then watching the team play last year and the way they played, full throttle, not afraid of making mistakes. Here we go, trying to do the right thing in the moment. If it doesn't work out, so what? Loved it. Absolutely loved it. And I, with Mac being on board, what they did with the defense and Trubisky, what he's doing right now, and the running backs, they got some really skilled players in the skilled position. So he's just the right guy for the moment. I'm really happy for him.
Yeah, he's got a good energy about him, and I think that he's brought some of that and Bears fans appreciate it. It's fun when there's a breath of fresh air, and that fresh air is backed up by winning. It's one thing
real.
To be cool.
There's nothing fabricated about this man, and that's the part I love about him too.
All right, a fan wants to know, what is something that you had to unlearn in life or in baseball?
Unlearn?
Yes.
To not make the first or third out of third base. I want our guys to get the third base.
What made you unlearn that?
Just being a base running guy and trying to push it a little bit.